welcome friends and family and everyone else in the world.
We do have a listener in Japan, so that is an accurate intro.
Konnichiwa. Nice to meet you. So welcome to Baubles and Lace After Dark.
Yeah, just Baubles After Dark, but we can also add the lace.
Truth be told, this is our second take, and the first one was much better.
It was.
So we'll just pretend that that was the first intro and erase that second intro.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, welcome to our fourth installment. In case you didn't know, 4 is Michaela's lucky number. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be extra special, this one. Mm. And we have an incredible guest per usual. Our guest today is Baubles and Lace royalty.
She is. The HBIC, some might say.
What does that stand for?
Head bitch in charge.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but guess what? I'm gonna do that.
Take that one.
I never knew it as well.
Really good.
I always thought it meant happy birthday.
What's the IC?
I don't know. I never
knew. Kate. But
I'm like, I just don't get it. Is it like her birthday every time?
No, head bitch in charge.
Great. Not happy birthday.
No.
So our guest, it's not her birthday, but she is our director of operations for all of my 8 corporate stores. She is a powerhouse and a boss, to say the least. Mm-hmm. So welcome, Demi Neeland, to our podcast.
Thank you. Guys, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
We have a lot of fun together, and you have so much insight, and I can't wait to have the fun and get the insight.
Exactly.
All of it. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Well, I think what's important to kind of start with and our jumping off point is let's get to know you. Okay. So how is it that we came to you? What is your relationship with Baubles and Lace? Like take us back. Rewind.
Yeah. Back in time. Well, I was born. I'm just kidding. I am originally from California, and I moved out here for school. I played volleyball in college, so I was recruited to come out to New Hampshire.
I love it.
Wild. Everyone's like, what are
you
doing?
Was that culture shock for you to go from California to New Hampshire?
It was wild. I feel like it has a lot of similarities from the region itself, but just the culture of the people and the speed, it was just so different.
Mm-hmm.
So different. But anyways, I came out here to come to school, and I played volleyball, and I loved it. And
you didn't just play volleyball. You were like a no-joke athlete. So Let me just make that clear to everyone listening. She wasn't like...
I do
the rowing machine,
right?
But I'm also an Olympic rower. Like, it's not like that.
No.
I don't want to toot my own horn. However, I was a 4-time champion.
Wow.
Went to the NCAA tournament. I played USC.
Wow.
I played Nebraska. I played the Florida Gators.
So you were on TV. Washington. Playing volleyball.
I was on TV playing volleyball.
I love the outfits.
Crazy.
Very hot.
Yeah, they're sexy.
They are hot. Aren't they cute?
Yeah, they really do good things for an ass.
Yeah.
Did your husband make you wear the outfit sometimes?
I can pull it out.
Yeah, he probably like you
too. Look.
That's great.
So funny. So anyways, I come out here and there's nowhere to shop, of course. If you guys have been in New Hampshire, there's a Walmart, mm-hmm. a TJ Maxx.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not a ton. And so I'm walking around and I'm looking for a dress, and I go into Baubles in Portsmouth, and its original location right there on Main Street, on State
mm-hmm.
Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in, and I guess I'm back up. Back in the day before I played sports, I was in the fashion world.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of trunk shows. I wanted to model. That was kind of the industry that I wanted to be in, and I've always loved it. But sports paid for my school. So, you know, I made that choice. However, I went into Baubles and Lace, and I just remember going in there and then being so helpful and then like making me feel like I was like on the runway again. And it was just like, they were.
She froze.
Are you
frozen?
Okay, you're back.
Okay.
So, oh, hi, sorry.
Back up 30 seconds. You go into the store.
Yeah, so I go into the store and I'm looking for this dress and I just remember them like making me feel like I was on the runway again. They were picking out these outfits for me. They were styling me. They were putting things on me. And if you're ever in the back of like a runway show, you know, you're like hands up and like touch me. They're putting everything on you. And then you look fabulous. And it like fits you perfectly. And so I remember being in there being like, and I walked out with the full fit and I'm like, this is where I'm shopping. This is my place while I'm here in New Hampshire. Cause it just reminds me of the fashion that I love before I chose sport.
Yeah.
It's interesting you say I chose sports as if they're two total opposite ends of the spectrum, which in a way they are, but it's there's a lot of overlap, I think, as well.
Yeah, there is overlap. And I think about what sports taught me and my role now for Baubles & Lace. There's a ton of crossover. And just in the business world in general.
Say more.
You know, I think.
Keep going.
Yeah, I think sport, it does a really good job of just making you a competitive person by nature. I feel like you have to adapt. You have to want to get better. You're always trying to perfect your craft. I think from a business perspective, especially in a leadership role, the thing that sports taught me the most was just to be able to give feedback, but also to be able to celebrate the wins, but also know that wins are fleeting and you have to get back to work and you have to, you know, always try to find a way to make yourself be better and just do the job.
I think that what makes you a really successful leader is the fact that I think you lead very much like a coach. And that's probably, you know, has a lot to do with your history of athleticism. So who are your like worst coach, best coach? What are some of the traits where you're like, okay, I'm never doing that and I'm doing that?
Yeah. So I always had male coaches up until I got to college.
That's so pervy for girls volleyball.
Especially in high
school. Isn't that weird?
Pervy.
Yeah. I have a traumatic volleyball story, actually, if you want to hear it.
Yeah,
it's such a Michaela story. So I have tried, and I would say this confidently, I have tried every sport. I wanted to be a tomboy desperately, but I would always show up to practice in a matching limited two set with a gelled ponytail and a matching scrunchie saying I was a tomboy. I had no self-awareness, but like who does when you're 13, right? So I signed up for volleyball camp because my best friend was doing it and we were going to like drive together. She lived across the street, yada, yada, yada. I go. Never told this story.
Oh, no.
So I start the camp and the coach calls me Katie. And I'm like, no, it's Michaela. And then like 20 minutes later, she calls me Katie and I don't correct her. At all. And so the next day, I go back, and the whole day she's calling me Katie. Nicole's like, you have to correct her. I'm like, I literally can't. I can't. Now I'm in too deep. I'm like a favorite. Oh. So then I quit.
That's hysterical.
You know what?
I'm like sweating thinking about it.
But I'm looking at you as you keep saying the word Katie, and part of me thinks you could be maybe be Katie.
Yeah.
Is Katie like an alter ego for you?
Apparently on the volleyball court.
That's your competitive girl.
Yeah. So I quit that too. I've quit every sport I've tried.
All right.
Anyway, back to your coaches.
Back to my coaches. Good and bad coaches. So I've always had a male coach. Brandon Walters, he was the guy that brought me into volleyball. He's the reason that I got a scholarship and am where I am. So I owe him everything. But he was almost like a father figure to me in a way. And so we fought like we were family. And I don't know if it was like the best thing in the world. Like I remember him like screaming in my face and like coming like this close and like looking back at it. I'm like, ooh, I might have been crossing the line, but hey, it taught me some tough skin, you know, and being able to just like handle it and be like, all right, yep, you're the boss. And now it's time for me to do my job.
Very Bill Belichick of him.
Bill Belichick.
Why did it work, though? Why did that... Because I have a thought on it, but why did it work?
I think at a young age, I've always had a little bit of a sass and a little bit of a, I don't want to say an ego, because I feel like that's negative connotation, but I've always known my worth. At a very young age, I feel like I've always known that I can be great. And I think he checked me and said, yes, you can, but you're five steps ahead of yourself. Slow the F down. Mm-hmm. And he was the first person to really do that. And it made me respect him.
Mm. I like that. I also think the feeling like family portion is really important.
Yeah.
Because you understand that he knows you. If he didn't know you and he screamed at you like that, that would go nowhere.
It would go nowhere. Yeah.
It would be like being called Katie. You quit.
Yeah. And he knew that I had like a single mom. So he would like take me to practice and just really took me underneath his wing to be able to play competitive volleyball. And so I think, Michaela, you're right. When I think about it, it's, you know, he was my family and I trusted him. And without that, I wouldn't have been able to receive the feedback in that way.
Yeah. He showed up for you.
Yeah.
Which is so important in leadership. So important in leadership. To show up for your people. Mm-hmm.
And it can be a two-way.
Yeah.
It's definitely a two-way relationship. I think people think about leadership as me tell you, but there is a certain level of dialogue that goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's nothing, I think sports taught me this too, is just servant-based leadership. Mm-hmm. Servant-based leadership is so important when running a team, because there's no job that I know, looking at Lindsay and looking at Michaela, that you guys wouldn't roll your sleeves up and do it with me.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm. Michelle.
Absolutely. 100%. What was the worst one?
Yeah, it was the worst one.
Oh, the worst one. So there's also a piece of theater where you have to manipulate situations to get people to react how you want them to. And it's a fine line of motivation and manipulation, right? And I think my college coach, she was an assistant coach, and she got way too personal with us to have control to then use that to try to fuel us on the court. And it just, we lost the respect factor.
Ooh.
Wow. I hate that.
That feels like girl. Emotional warfare. Yeah. A little bit.
Emotional warfare. And we've all been a part of it, right? Whether it's girlfriends or, you know.
Playing to your greatest insecurity. That's what it sounds like.
Yes. And it was, it made for a bad experience. Yeah. So that is something that I exactly do not want to be as a leader.
Yeah.
You know, tell it how it is. Be straightforward. Mm-hmm. You might not like to hear it. It might be hard to hear.
Right.
But let's at least talk about it and be on the same level, like playing field. Then try to manipulate it to get it how we want it to be. Because then it's not authentic either, right?
So I really enjoy how when there's multimedia used in good ways. So, you know, I have two sons and they're teenagers and they always have their phones and their TikToks, and I'm not sure it's necessarily the most healthiest thing, but I think there is a lot of opportunity in that media space to learn and do good things. So for all the young women listening, what advice would you give to them in order to fulfill their dreams? Or goals.
It is too broad. I'm going to boil it. I know exactly what she's asking.
You know where
I'm
going.
So you started your career out in athletics, right? So for those who don't know Demi well or haven't read her resume like I have, she has worked in athletic marketing for her career and then one day took a chance on herself and decided to work for Bobbles and Lace.
So obviously, Lindsay and I saw how the skill sets related. But what advice would you give to a woman who's looking to totally change career paths? Is that what you were asking?
Yes.
Okay, great.
No, but yes, we'll go with that one.
Okay.
Yeah. I think for someone that's looking to change career paths, I would say you have a skill set. You have to be adaptable. And you have to be curious into whatever line of work that you want to do. I think if you change jobs entirely, if you get a promotion, you have to look at it through a different lens of just being curious and asking questions and trying to get as much knowledge as you possibly can out of the people that have done it before you, out of the leadership, out of your team. And once you acquire that knowledge, I think you can be unstoppable. But my biggest advice is just be fearless and be curious.
Yeah. Be fearless and curious.
Be fearless. Mm-hmm. Like you can do it.
Right. And not the thing a point that I think is missed a lot. I'm reading this book by Tony Robbins right now called Unlimited Power. And knowledge is power, but it doesn't mean anything without action. You can have all the knowledge in the world and do nothing with it. But it's the point of taking the action with what you know and then changing your actions versed on the results that you get.
Yeah. And I think, too, like, it's so easy to start being complacent, especially in a job, right? Like, you get comfortable. You know your routine. You know how to do it. But what else is there? Like, you want to be curious and you can apply yourself to be more always.
Being stagnant to me is death.
My nightmare.
It's death. Just being stagnant. And a lot of the time, the change, most of the time, that decision to not be stagnant is really within everybody. You know, we all have those choices to make where some people may say, well, good stuff just doesn't happen. Or, you know, you're just really lucky. Like, it's actually none of those things. It's none of those things. Okay. It's just being fearless to take the jump into do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I think, too, like, to never stop learning. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't just, like, I'm constantly reading and listening and just trying to figure out new ways to do things and get my brain open up just for a different perspective. And I think that school traumatized me of, like, I hate learning.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, like, I love it.
Yeah, it's really cool as an adult to learn on your own terms and not the way someone else wants you to do it and the subject matter that they're making you learn.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absorb the knowledge.
I hate working out now.
You do?
Volleyball. I had to.
Right.
So now I'm like, you can't find me in a gym.
I'm shocked at that.
That's shocking. And you'll find me at the gym. I was really last on a Sunday night lifting weights at the gym.
There goes Katie.
There goes Katie.
I love it.
Okay, what was your question? Since my question was not your question.
You know, I just think about that there's a lot of young women out there, and especially this new younger crop. And, like, you know, I hate to lean on the whole millennial and this and this gender, but I do notice that there is feel like the landscape has changed since when we were young. Mm-hmm. I do. I mean, we all had jobs since we were 16, working our butts off, working for something. And finding that women are working later. They're focusing on other things first, which I'm not saying is a good or a bad thing, but I do find that when it comes time to look for new talent out there, that there's
Just say it straight, Lindsay. Say it straight. Don't be afraid to offend people. Say it straight.
Be honest.
Yeah. You know, we have a lot of women are graduating and they have these big degrees, but at the end of the day, they haven't done the work to get there. They haven't done the work. Get to work. You know? We got the coffees, we absorbed, like, we, you know, I was an intern at the InStyle fashion closet in London. You know what I did? Got coffees. I got coffees, but I learned a whole hell of a lot. So I just, for this new crop that is coming, and they're coming very well educated.
Right.
And they're coming very well supported by the people around them, by their teachers, by their parents, by their peers. What advice do you have for them in order to cross that bridge between wanting to start a career? Mm. I just notice a big difference.
There is. And I've been in hiring mode, as you know. And I think my advice would be, is I think social media, let's go down that path. I think social media and the world of it has given a unrealistic view of what even jobs are. Mm-hmm. Because you see people living this lavish life or going on these cool trips. You know, I can use two as an example. You guys were in New York, you guys were in Florida, you're in Colorado, but you're freaking grinding and you're exhausted, but you love the work and you're doing the work, but it's still work.
Yeah.
Even though it's pretty photos on Instagram, it's taken a lot to get there.
Yeah, we're sleeping butt naked next to each other with no AC in an Airbnb.
We stayed in Airbnb.
After working a 12-hour day on our feet.
Yeah, no joke. The Airbnb has no AC. Uh-huh. It died in the night.
It was 105 degrees.
Outside. And she's not kidding. Sometimes we exaggerate. Like, it was 105.
This is, nope.
Legit 105. The AC broke.
No, I would have died.
AC broke. And I said, do you want to go to a hotel?
Too tired.
We're too tired.
Couldn't.
So,
couldn't.
But make it in the
next bed. Week.
I would love to know what your dreams were that night.
None. We were pissed. Lindsay got up in the middle of the night and left. I was like, she's mad at me.
I took 8 showers in the night to wet myself. It was the worst night. But so we didn't post that.
No.
You know, it's we're posting us at the opening.
Okay, and glam.
Full glam.
Yes.
Full glam.
Yeah. So I think it's...
You're right. Because, that's a good point, Debbie. That's a good point.
It is. It's what you see isn't always what it is. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of groundwork that has to be done in order to get the pretty picture.
Mm-hmm. 100%. That's a really, really great way to put it.
And why do I think that you need to get the coffees and pay the dues first? I just do. Call me old school.
There's something
but
about it. There's something old school. About paving your way.
So a tattoo artist, you have to be an apprentice for X number of years. I know because I looked into being an apprentice at age 40. I'm obsessed with being a tattoo artist. I actually bought a tattoo gun and I've been practicing. Pretty soon I'm going to tattoo my husband. Oh, maybe I'll do that on the podcast.
Yeah, I like that.
He gave me a little square on his bum. He's going to let me tattoo. But so you have to apprentice for years to be able to tattoo someone. So it's just where
people forget we apprenticed for the roles that we're in, I think.
Yeah. Yes. And I think we're in such a world of instant gratification that people think that this is what I'm supposed to do. I go to school and then I get a $200,000 job right out of college.
Right.
What? No, that's not real life. And there's something about the grind that I guarantee you'll be way more successful if you grinded your way to get there than just getting straight there.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how anyone gets straight there. If anyone has to, let me know.
Ask Harvey Weinstein.
Nepotism. Nepotism is the only way to just get there.
Just kidding.
Yes. I don't know if there's a way to get there. But I think it's just more so unrealistic expectations because of the social media world.
And I think
everyone's grinding.
Yeah, but it's not even about the grind, too. It's about you learn so many things in that interim, in that growth period. You learn how to lead, how not to lead. You know, you learn what not to do. You have to learn what not to do. So you learn what to do. You have to see it done before you're able to decide how you want to get it done. You can't just go right up there because there's no point of reference.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get to work, girls. Get to work, girls.
Get to work.
Don't be late.
What'd you guys make Kim Kardashian?
Yep.
Every episode. We say this literally every episode.
Right message. Wrong message.
Every episode.
Well, I want to pivot a little bit to talk a little bit of fashion because obviously that's the best part of what we do.
Yeah, there's one that's on my There's like one thing that's on my brain.
Okay, you do your thing.
Okay.
Ooh.
Love or hate, or support or don't support breakup bangs? Because I just read an article about Sabrina Carpenter. You know, she has a very look.
Who like is she?
I don't really know what she does, but I know what she looks like.
She's everywhere. Who is she?
I think she's sick.
My husband would say she has great tits.
Yeah, she has great tits. And she's known for like her blush, but she also has platinum hair and bangs. Mm-hmm. And someone asked her recently in an interview, like, how did you get this like signature look? And she was like, oh, I actually did these from a breakup and they've just stuck around. So, okay, I guess actually let me reframe the question. Have you ever changed your look because of a breakup first?
Okay. First, no.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Of course. Okay. What have you done? What have you done?
I cut my hair to a pixie and dyed it blonde.
No.
Like,
I need to see pictures.
From a breakup?
Yeah. I was in New York with Jess Randa. Go to New York and I...
Did you and Derek break up?
No, it wasn't. Pre-Derek.
Okay, this was pre-Derek.
Pre-Derek.
Oh, my gosh.
Walked in off the street. Pre-Derek. Yeah, we walked into this janky salon off the street and I said, I pulled a Britney. I said, cut it all off. My hair was like down to here. A little past my shoulders.
No.
And it was this long. It was this long.
A legit pixie. And then it was platinum.
And then I said, oh, woof. I gotta do something with this. So then we dyed it platinum. No, actually, the platinum was pretty cool. But yeah, it was a bold move.
Yeah. Yep.
That is a bold move.
Yeah, I've done. Okay. If I go through any term, like any type of emotional turmoil, I take it out on my hair every time. Every time without fail. If I have a change of look, unless I tell you I'm okay, I'm just trying something new, know that I'm not okay.
Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit about some privilege right now because. I'm half black for the listeners that don't know.
Uh-huh.
And I have never been able to grow my hair out long whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So I can't dye it. I can't cut it.
Why can't you dye it?
It will break it off because it's like so brittle that like my coloring.
I got a girl for you. Two of my best friends are Kate Birdie, and they have highlights, and they're gorgeous.
She's in Salem. Do you want to dye?
So I did highlights previously, and I went pretty blonde, but my hair got
shortened.
Short.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I think it's just a me thing.
Okay. Well, what do you do like after a breakup? Then I mean, I know you're married, but what do you do? Like, have you ever done anything? Like, did you get belly button pierced?
Go into another relationship.
That works. No, it never works that way for me, but for other people, that works.
Okay.
I just jump right in.
No, I'm gonna change my whole look so I hate myself more.
Wow, you really take it out on yourself.
I do. Immediately.
Your poor strands.
My poor hair.
They're abused.
No, I genuinely have looked the same way, I feel like, since I was 12.
Okay, but say you could do anything you wanted, I guess, to your hair. What would you do?
I think I would really like to find someone that is like an expert at wigs. That can like lay it so it doesn't look like the celebrities.
The Kylie Jenner wigs where we were all like, how is she changing her hair so often?
Wig, yes.
They all still wear wigs and hair extensions. Yeah. I hate to tell you. See, Kim Kardashian. I'm going to go to Kim Kardashian again.
Yeah.
Again, again, and again. See, she went platinum for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a wig.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a wig. So if there's any wig girlies out there, I'm happy to
let us know.
You use my head.
What's your first wig going to be?
Yeah, what would your first wig be?
I'd want to go like platinum blonde.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Lindsay's thinking about going platinum.
Yeah.
Ooh.
My hairstylist said, all your hair will be gone. I said, fine. It's going to be the texture of like rotten duck fluff, but that's good.
Yeah, like a duck.
So specific.
Yeah. But like not a healthy duck, like a dying baby duck.
It's okay. I see it more as like straw. Is where
right.
I go.
And we could go that way too.
Like a hay.
Have you ever had a perm?
Yes.
I did.
Of course.
I
got it so that I could get my beat. Like, it was literally like, I actually found this, it popped up on my Facebook, like, memories the other day. It was 17 years ago when I was in high school.
No way.
I was in high school 17 years ago, which is horrifying, but I had a
perm. Yeah, it's like, what?
I got the home perms from my mom.
Smell of rotten eggs.
Oh.
A question for you on fashion. I know Lindsay has this issue as well. But like, what are your fashion tips or styling tips, shopping tips for the tall girls?
For the tall girls. I always say go, well, my fashion overarching is go basic and add on.
Okay. You always accessorize.
Yeah, you accessorize well.
Great.
You do.
I just love having a big glasses, big earring. And I just wearing a simple shirt and a pair of jeans.
So true. You strip your necklace, your glasses, your earrings.
Yeah.
Then the basics.
Like a tomboy, got to go play volleyball.
You go
with to my slick back hair.
Go to the court. Put on the bike thing and booty shorts.
I would say always go basic and then accessorize to your comfortability. That's my like number one rule always. But for tall girls, I say get really effing comfortable with a cropped jean.
Yeah, exactly. Look, just embrace it.
Have some shoes you love.
Embrace it. Yes, and throw on a rocking pair of shoes and you'll be fine.
Now, when did you go from being the tall girl and I used to, when I was little, they line you up for class picture. And I've been this height since I was like 7. They line you up for class picture. And I'm always in the back with the boys. They're taller than all the boys. And they put me next to the teacher because I'm literally really tall. But I'd want to shrink. Be like terrible posture. I wore the flattest shoes possible. So when I had to go, you know, came time to wear a dress, I'm like, I cannot wear a heel. I can't be taller than other people. I'm already the tallest one. I already am shrinking away to nothing. When was that pivotal point for you when you embraced it and said, you know what? I'm tall and fuck you.
I love that, by the way.
Okay.
I would say when I realized I was good at sports was like the first one.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Volleyball players are so tall.
They are. Yeah.
I was actually short. For the people on my team, like I was one of the shorter girls.
Did you love it?
And I
or no?
I loved it.
Okay.
I loved it. I felt itty bitty.
That's.
It was great. Yeah, it was awesome. But then I didn't realize that I was tall again. Like I forgot that I was tall because I was surrounded by like these 6'1", 6'2", 6'3" women. And then like after school when I went to Boston, I'm like going out at the bar and I'm like, holy shit! I'm like tall.
I was like
giant woman.
That's so funny. When I was younger, I used to want to be tall. Like I remember, you know, when your doctor would like predict your height.
Yeah,
my doctor was like, "You're gonna be 5'9". I was like,
"You want to be taller?"
But now I'm 5'5", and I wish I was 5'1".
Right.
So,
Lindsay, do you like being tall?
I love it.
You love it.
Do you love it?
I love it.
But I do sometimes wish that I were small for the way clothes fit.
Yeah, that's what it is. I want everything to be huge. I want to wear a bra and giant jeans.
Yeah, I don't care about other people and how I feel in relationship to everybody. That I don't really care. I married a husband who's shorter than me, although he says he's taller than me, but we all know he isn't. Right. But I want to feel small and giant clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I'll never forget when, like, you put on your boyfriend's t-shirt or, like, sweatpants and you're like
swimming.
Perfectly.
That's so funny.
These fit perfect.
These fit perfectly.
Seems a little short. Okay, well, I struggle asking you this next question. Yeah. And I struggle thinking about this question because this is a question that if you were a man on a podcast, they would never ask you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I fight against asking questions like this, but I think that it is relevant. And then I have two things on my shoulder. I have two feminists on my shoulder. One says, don't be a man. And then one says, be what would a man do? And the other says, what would a man wouldn't do? Because which one's the right way to access feminism? Like, I don't really know. And even I go between, do I want to lead this team like a man? What would a man do? Would they lead it with less emotion? But then part of me says that's what's beautiful about women and leading a team is tapping into that emotional side and tapping into that woman's side. So I'm going to say, fuck these guys on my shoulders. I'm swearing a lot. I'm so sorry.
I love it. I'm so into it.
Okay, I love it.
I'm feeling a little fiery. So I'm going to take these two feminist beings. I'm going to chuck them out the window. And I'm going to ask you, let's break down a little bit about motherhood and that balance.
Because you're also a new mom.
Correct. But again, a question that you wouldn't get if you were a man. So if you're a feminist.
Nor would you get as a single woman. No one's asking me that. How do I balance my career? I still have problems.
You do.
You do. A lot. Clearly a lot. Clearly a lot.
Your hair is telling me.
I'm about to shave my head.
She's going to shave her head. She's hanging by a thread over here.
Anyhow.
Tell
us about it.
Okay. Yeah. Michaela next.
Tamara asked me next. I'm sorry. So let me ask you, let's talk about that balance between motherhood, because you have a beautiful baby boy. And I just want to talk about how you find that sweet spot and that balance.
Right. Especially where it's new.
And you're a fucking rock star. Yeah. Rock star of a boss.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys are so kind. You know, I think I have a great fucking partner. Wow, now I'm cussing. Look at me. I do. I have a really, really great partner. And they say it takes a village. I have a great family. And I think I have a partner that also really respects the woman that I am and knows that, like, I'm going to keep going. And, like, he loves it and supports it. And so I think it allows me to truly be me and not feel bad about wanting to have a career and a beautiful family, you know, have my cake and eat it too. Mm-hmm. Really. But I wouldn't be able to do it without him. So let's talk about a little role reversal, but he also owns his own business. So we're just going, and you just figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good advice, but.
No, I think it is really important to find a team. For any big journey that you're embarking upon, whether it be motherhood, whether it be being a owner of a new business, whatever it is, I think that a new career, I just thinking having that support, no matter what it looks like to you, is pivotal for your emotional and physical well-being.
Totally. And I mean, I grew up with a single mom, you know, who had three kids, and she worked her tail off. And she was able to do it too, right? Like, her experience is different from me, but she didn't have a supportive partner, but she had a village of friends and family and coworkers, right? And coaches and all of those things that knew that, like, her babies would be taken care of so she can get done what she needs to get done. And it is, it's important to have those people around you and to find them.
For sure. And I hang my hat on this as well. You know, I believe in quality over quantity. I was the first one dropped off at daycare in the morning and the last one picked up at night. But for one second, do I think that I was any less loved than, a child who's growing up with their mother all day? Or absolutely not. The answer is 100%. No, it's quality over quantity. And I'm sure you struggle with that guilt sometimes, as does any mom, because you don't want to leave that part of you. I mean, you birth this beautiful being. You're like, all right, going to work. You know, you're going to miss a lot. But you can still be the most amazing mother in the world and not be there 24 hours a day. And that's okay.
Yeah. And I think too, like, in this is for everyone, this phone, right? Like, it's so important in those quality moments that you're talking about to just give yourself space to be so present. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we don't do often enough, you know, is to just truly be where your feet are in that moment, especially when you have the little one. But in general, for all world, for you too, Michaela. No, just kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. When I'm on a date, don't look at your phone. Yeah. If I see my friend for the first time in a month for dinner, don't look at your phone. Like, show me the respect and don't look at your phone. Like, be with me. Yeah. See me. Be here for me. And I will be there for you.
I forget who told me that, but someone said, be where your feet are.
Yeah.
So now anytime I feel like my mind is going somewhere, I'm like, okay, I just need to be here.
Mm-hmm. It's great advice. That's
where I'm at.
It's really good advice.
So there's, I have this, is a great story. I have this tattoo. It says now here, but it's the same word as nowhere. Think about that. It's just the space is different.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So you're now here or you're nowhere. Don't you love it?
Mm-hmm. I love that.
It chills.
Yeah, it's really good. So that's the meaning of this now here, right now, as
get
reminder.
It. Going to get it.
Going to get it. Let's do it. So we were in. So no. I love a rock star tattoo that really takes not a lot of thought to get. We were sitting by the pool in Palm Springs with my husband and our two best friends, Nikki and Maureen, who you will meet on a later podcast, by the way. And we're sitting and we let's get tattoos as you do.
Right. That's how you should get all of the tattoos.
As one does. So we looked up tattoo parlors nearby. We found one. We actually took bikes because we were all drinking and we couldn't travel. So we took bikes over. We walked in and the guy had a vintage typewriter. Mm-hmm. And he said, type out what you want and then I'll put it on your body.
That's so cool.
So I did now here. Derek got nowhere. My husband. And he got it really big, which is nowhere. Which is very fitting if you know.
It is.
Know him.
It is.
I love it.
And then Maureen got anywhere. And then Nick got everywhere.
Really cute.
Wow. Very cool.
So if you're ever in Palm Springs, you can go to the typewriter tattoo artist. Hit me up. I'll point you in the direction of where he is.
I love it.
Isn't Palm Springs great? God. So good.
Anyone want to open a Bobbles in Palm Springs? Just saying.
Yeah.
Just I know.
Saying. Be great.
Okay, my final question, I was excited to ask this one. I wasn't excited to ask the last one because I was grappling with my fix. But the next one is, what do you feel most powerful wearing?
Ooh, this is a good one. Denim, pumps, and a heel. Or I'm sorry, denim, pumps, and a blazer.
Denim, pumps, and a blazer.
I love it.
Like you're just casual enough where you're approachable. Mm-hmm. You got your, you know, F me heels on where you look sexy.
Yeah.
And you got a blazer. Like I'm fucking here to do business.
Yeah. I like it.
Here to do business and have some fun at the same time.
I love it.
Yeah. Like it's a vibe. Mm-hmm. I love a good oversized blazer.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Love that.
What's yours, Michaela? Katie.
Katie?
Katie.
I don't know what Katie likes to wear. We're still working on Katie. I think I feel the best. I guess powerful. Powerful and the best are kind of.
I know.
How do you feel your best?
How do I feel my best? In a mini skirt and a pump.
Mini skirt.
And a high heel. I don't care if it looks slutty. Like, I don't care. My legs and then a heel. I like it out. I don't like to be sitting, but standing up in a really short
skirt.
Your
date does, but not you.
Mm-hmm. In a really, really short skirt. I love. Love.
I don't know if I've ever met someone that's like a mini skirt. That's a power move.
That's who I am.
I love that.
I remember someone recently was like, let's go to dinner. A guy. He's like, let's go to dinner. Just be casual. I was like, I don't fucking know how to be casual. That's an update. Sort of casual. And
casual, so wet pants. Right.
Like, it's either pajamas or something slutty. I'm not really sure what to do in the middle.
Nice.
So I put on like a little like tank mini dress and a sneaker, and like he picks me up and he's like, "My God, you're so dressed up." And I'm like, I don't know what else to do. This is like super casual for me because I'm in a sneaker.
Casual is the hardest.
I love it.
So.
It is hard.
The hardest.
And it's like, I don't care that I'm approaching my mid-30s. I'm showing my legs. I don't care.
Fine. Do it until you're 90.
Someone told me once, like, wow, you dress really young.
Who told you that?
I'm not telling.
Your mother.
No.
She works at Bobbles. I can't say.
Ah.
She's like, wow, you dress like really young for your age. I was like,
You are really young.
I'm very young for my age, obviously.
Obviously. What's yours?
I know what hers is. We all know what hers is.
Duh.
I know.
An oversized suit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Slicked hair.
You know what? You just, the slicked hair.
The slicked hair changed things for you.
Yeah. My power outfit is to look like one of the gangsters on Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
It's not perfect.
Like, I don't want to be Jessica. I want to be the gangster, the suit, the gun. Be like, hey.
That's perfect. Because I want to be Jessica with the tits.
Oh, good.
That's who I want, the tits. That's why God didn't give them to me, because you know they'd just be out all the time.
Yeah, he knew the world would be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That is very true. Mm-hmm. Mini skirt and tits out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Demi, we've said it all. Let me ask you, do you have any parting words for our fans? Do you have any shameless plugs?
Can I ask you guys a couple questions?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, so in our training program, we always talk about the Bobbles Babble. Mm. I'm going to babble off a couple questions that I want you guys to answer.
Ooh, I like this.
Okay.
I love this.
Yeah.
What is the best compliment you have ever been given?
I got it.
Mm.
Me.
Yep.
Me, pick me.
Okay, Lizzie, you're
up. So we have a lawyer named Seamus. Seamus, if you're listening. Hi, Seamus. And at first I was very intimidated by someone like Seamus. He's a franchise lawyer. He represented these big franchises, mm-hmm. right? And he's lawyery, not lawyery. And he's worked with many, many large companies. And he said, I got to tell you, I've worked for a lot of important people. You are a boss and you are such a powerhouse, but it is a joy to work with you. And that was the greatest thing ever because, you know, I have that imposter syndrome of not deserving to be in the seat I am in, that it was just luck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that.
So it was nice, really fantastic to hear that. So thank you, Seamus. You've really gave me a lot of confidence in what I do.
I love that.
I love that.
Thank you.
I love that so much.
That's great.
Thank you.
All
right, Michaela, this next one is you.
Mine's not that deep, I don't think. Last week, I was told I was perfect twice. Two times.
Wow.
I'll take it.
Did I tell you?
You did not. A guy I was breaking up with told me I was perfect. And then I called my best friend's mom to tell her about it. And she told me, without me even prompting, she was like, what are you doing? Because you're perfect. What are you doing? I'm like,
you're right.
You do have this way about you, Michaela. That is a good compliment for you.
It was just good for me.
Yeah, you just have it all together.
I don't. Always, like, but
no,
I'm
but
glad.
You're the person to go to for like good, sound advice, questions, concerns, to laugh.
Guess what? The best compliment I've ever received just happened.
Oh.
I know, seriously. That's the best compliment ever for me.
I think when you have somebody who seems so strong and so confident, you think they don't need to hear it. But I think those are the people that probably need to hear it the most.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, last question, real quick.
Wait, I think you're amazing too. I think you're perfect.
Thank you.
You are.
Third time's charm. Four times.
Bobbles of Life. Bobbles and Life is happy to have you and lucky to have you.
Thank you.
You're a blessing.
I'll sleep in your bed naked anytime.
Great.
Good song, please. With no AC.
Yeah.
Great. Last question. If you had a family motto, what would it be for your family?
Oh, family motto.
If it's too hard, I got another one.
A family motto? Like
for
what we all live by?
Slogan. No, maybe like a slogan.
My uncle said to me this week, this is just random. We're out on his boat. And I'm like, I think it's going to rain. And he goes, you know what, Michaela? Only two things melt in the rain. Shit and sugar. We're going out. I'm like, all right. Here we go.
I love that.
Not going to melt in a little bit of rain.
Thank you, Uncle Dave.
Thanks, Uncle Dave.
Thanks, Uncle Dave. All right. That's my Bobbles Babble.
Do you have a motto, Lens?
No. Like my own family?
Yeah, for your own family, what would like your slogan be? If you had a TV show, what would the like Lorando do to do?
I don't know. I guess I just don't take things too seriously.
Hmm.
All right.
But my kids have never been in timeout. We just laugh it off.
Yeah. Be naughty. It's fine.
I love naughty. I love naughty personally.
Yeah. That's your family. I love naughty. I love
be naughty.
Be naughty.
I love naughty.
Yeah. Be naughty, I'll laugh. Mm. Naughty is funny.
Yeah. It is.
I love it.
Naughty is funny. What's your family motto?
Oh, yeah.
Slow down and take time. Mm. Nothing crazy. Just slow down and take your time.
What do you do when it's slow?
Mm.
My husband and I laugh our off.
That's the best.
We do. We like, there's nothing, because we're so busy and life is so busy, we just love to like sit on our couch and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
and like just be funny. Mm-hmm. We don't even like to have the TV on. I remember my mom.
That's true romance.
That's true romance.
My mom coming to my house and like, your house is so quiet. Like, why is it so quiet? Like, we just vibe. Mm-hmm. What do you need?
You fill the space yourself.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, Debbie.
Mm-hmm. That's really great.
So come on over. It's pretty quiet in here, but it feels full.
Sorry, Derek. No TV tonight.
Make me laugh immediately.
We don't laugh enough.
It's so funny.
Well, we loved having you today. I'm going to speak on your behalf as well. That you're just a joy in the Boffles and Lace world. Mm-hmm. It was a better day than the day you decided to join us.
Absolutely.
It's a better day for the world. Mm-hmm. So thank you for every second that you pour into this company. Thank you for every second that I get to spend with you personally. I just think the world of you.
Thank
Seriously.
You guys are so I second that.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think the world of you guys. Those are the best.
Go kiss your baby.
Go kiss your baby.
And go laugh with your husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love it.
I love it so much.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you next week.
See you next week.
Ciao.
I won't.
In spirit.
In spirit. Always. Okay, bye.